Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and my good friend Stephen Garchar is on location again this week. And I think we have him by satellite phone.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Are you
in the Himalayas or somewhere, or are you in beautiful Youngstown?
Close. No, closer to the Himalayas. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. You're doing a ministry in Nepal or Tibet?
Kind of, yeah. We're taking the gospel message across the globe.
Well,
it's a little chilly up here on the peaks, but...
I'll bet. Probably a lot of snow still, huh?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I was talking with a couple this past week about who live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and I was joking with them about when do you get rid of all your snow, and the guy told me that 4th of July, they had the 4th of July parade ready to go, and it snowed.
Oh, my God.
And he claimed he claimed he was not putting me on, but I don't believe it. Anyway,
wow.
So last week was Resurrection Day. Haven't you
Amen.
Been like excited all this week?
Woo. I have been.
Woo.
And
feel
you know
great.
What? You know what? You know what this Sunday represents?
What?
Another remembrance of the Feast of First Fruits, the resurrection from the dead.
Amen. Woo. And we have, you know, Sunday we have, and we're not going to talk about Sabbaths and Constantine and so forth, but you know, we have an amazing Sabbath every week. On Sunday, the Christian Sabbath, where we can recount that this was the Lord's Day, the day of resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And what a powerful sign, what a powerful proof that Jesus is Lord of all and has conquered death. Woo.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, and we don't want to go too far, but if you look at it in the account of creation, the seventh day was the Shabbat, the day for rest.
Mm-hmm.
God made the first day, which was Sunday, and the seventh day was Saturday, which is the day of rest. Mm-hmm. But Jesus rose on the Feast of First Fruits, which was a Sunday morning.
Yes, exactly.
It was a Sunday. So, obviously, there's a lot of debate and a lot of controversy about stuff that man has created over the centuries, but Jesus rose on a Sunday.
Yes.
And that's what's
Amen.
Celebrated. That remembrance is celebrated.
And I think it's pretty neat that Shavuot, Pentecost was also on a Sunday, and the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit fell on the upper room, but we'll talk about that when we get closer to Pentecost. But
Amen.
That was actually another sign. Here was Sunday, and Pentecost literally became the birthday of the church. Sure, the church was born, the new covenant, you know, came at the cross, but within minutes after Pentecost happened, even our friend Peter was out there saving 3,000 people.
mm-hmm.
So that really was the birthday of the church. But
yeah,
let's not talk about that till it gets closer to Pentecost.
Right.
Because, you know, Steve and I are charismatic Pentecostal types. So if we get to talking about power of the Holy Spirit, we'll have a totally different radio show than we intended to have.
That would be okay.
Yeah, that'd be good too. But let's do Road to Emmaus, since we were in Luke 24 last week for the resurrection account. And are you someplace where you can read, Steve?
I am.
Yay.
I am.
So why don't you go ahead and read?
Put my sled away.
Why don't you go ahead and read the, yeah. But are you riding around on a yak?
yeah, kind of. They come in handy.
Yeah. So why don't you read the account of the Road to Emmaus, which starts in Luke 24, I think it's verse, is it 13?
It is.
13, yeah.
Now that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Clopas, said to him in reply, Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? And he replied to them, what sort of things? They said to him, the things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. When they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?
Ooh, let's pause there before they run back to Jerusalem. Wow, what an awesome account. And I have to say before we get into this that I always think it's so important that, you know, I always tell people Jesus expected people to know the scriptures. He always said, haven't you read? Haven't you heard? And here he says to these guys, you know, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe what the prophets have spoken. And, right. You know, it's so important to understand, you know, when you study Torah and when you study the prophets and you study all of these types and shadows and prefigurements of Messiah, you realize that what Jesus Messiah Yeshua did on the cross, coming out of the tomb, our ultimate sacrifice for sin, conquering death, all these things are so powerful, but they're all prefigured. And even though they were living in real time, he says to them, why don't you get this? Don't you remember what the prophets said?
Mm-hmm.
I always find that really amazing. It's so powerful that you really need to know what's in the scriptures.
Right.
Yeah, but this is interesting because these two, we only know the name of one of them. They were obviously pretty closely associated with Jesus in his earthly life. And they already were, at this point, discouraged. They were walking away. Emmaus was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, it says. They apparently lived there because they went to somebody's house, one of their houses. So they walked these 7 miles. And they had this idea of Messiah, as they say to him, well, we thought he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. But, man, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, he died. And now some women came and said, oh, you know, he's risen. I don't know. They don't believe it, obviously. And they have a different concept of Messiah.
Undoubtedly, yes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they were...
Yeah.
You know, it was going to be a great king and a military leader and restore the kingdom like David and Solomon had, or whatever they thought. Jesus hadn't fulfilled that in their mind. And you get the idea from reading this that they're kind of trudging along, walking really sadly.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus even says, you know, what are you talking about? Why are you so sad? What's with you
right.
guys? What are you talking about? Now go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, as he's talking with them, he's recounting everything that beginning with Moses and on all the prophets, he interprets mm-hmm. to them what referred to him in all the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, this is the only little bit of account that we get of this.
Yeah.
So, but as you said, he's asking them, you know, he sees that they're looking downcast. He sees that they're looking like defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to them, oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same day that the women came back and reported what they had seen.
Yeah.
Even though the angel had said to them, do you not remember, you know, remember the words that he spoke to you?
Yes.
And you can see that they're struggling with this because nobody risen from, well, Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, but they obviously weren't thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And in an emotional time, you know, they'd walked with him for 3 years. They probably weren't thinking too clearly either because he had just been executed a horrific death as crucifixion is.
Oh, it's horrible.
And yet, are they concerned for their own safety? What are they, you know, what are they thinking and how clearly can they really think in this period of time right after the crucifixion of Jesus, right after his resurrection? It's really too early. I think it's really too early for them to really understand and comprehend just what happened spiritually as God restored all of creation back to himself through Christ.
Yeah. Amen. Well put. Yeah. Interestingly too, it says they were restrained from recognizing him.
Mm-hmm.
So he, you know, in a divine, way prevented them from recognizing him.
Right. Yeah,
even though they, you know, a lot of people say they didn't recognize him and it, you know, may have to do with his glorified body. I don't know, but they didn't recognize him. And this gave him kind of a way to approach them, to say, oh, you know, what are you guys talking about? Mm-hmm. You know, why are you sad? He cares about what they're talking about, cares about the fact that they're sad. And they come right out and say, we're sad because Jesus is dead. We thought he was the Messiah and mm-hmm. he's dead. And it sounds like they don't really believe the resurrection story. You know, he says, what were you talking about on the way? And when they were talking about the fact that he's dead, you know, you think they may have seen this horrible passion that had happened a couple of days before. I mean, they were his friends. They were associated with him. They might have seen him, you know, at all these places along the way to Calvary. And mm-hmm. they saw this horrible, bitter suffering that he went through. And it was so difficult for them to believe that he rose from the dead. But when it sounds like they're doubting what the women said, this is when he kind of jumps in and says, how slow you are to understand what the prophets wrote.
Mm-hmm.
He uses that doubt as the way to introduce, as we always say, the best Bible study probably that was ever done.
Yeah, and never recorded.
Yeah, and yeah, not only did they not have a cassette tape or anything, but neither of those guys wrote a book. As I like to point out, an average person walks about 3 miles per hour, and they walked about 7 miles. So at least a couple of hours went by,
mm-hmm.
maybe 2.5 hours because they were walking slowly. And in 2.5 hours, Jesus explains everything about Moses and the prophets that refers to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Wow, if one of them would have written a book, we'd have all that in a concise form.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is that after he does that, he gives them the appearance that he's going to go on further, and they ask him to stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
then it's it's in that meal, he comes in into their home and he celebrates a meal with them. He takes bread, just like he did at the Passover Seder.
Yes.
He takes the bread, and then said the blessing and broke it and gave it to them.
Yeah.
Just like he did at the Passover Seder.
So the same blessing.
When he instituted the new and eternal covenant.
Amen.
And what do they say? Their eyes were open and they recognized him, but he vanished.
Yes.
You know, and it's amazing that the connection that is there to the bread and the wine, that, you know, when Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood, it's mm-hmm. going to be shed and given for you for the sins of many.
Yes.
He chooses to reveal himself in the breaking of the bread once
yes.
more.
A simple thing that everybody had in their house was bread.
Yes.
And, yeah. and it was unleavened bread because, you know, they were in the Feast of Unleavened Bread goes on for a week. So they were technically still in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So he would have basically had a matzah. And if you've ever been to a Messianic Seder and hopefully the head of the Seder had you pick up a piece of the matzah and look through it, you see that it's got all little holes in it. Because of the way it mm-hmm. cooks. And also because of the way it cooks, it's got what look like brown stripes on it where it rests on the grill. And, mm-hmm. you know, this, when Jesus would hold up a piece of matzah, he can say, this is my body that was pierced. And this is the stripes on my back that the whips caused. And here it is. This is my body in this, although it looks like matzah. And it would have been it was such a profound moment that then they recognized him. They didn't recognize him when he was preaching and teaching, but they recognized right. him when he broke the bread. And he says, you know, I'm the bread come down from heaven. He's born in a town that Bethlehem means house of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. The Hebrews say, a prayer every time they eat, which is a blessing of the bread. And if you're having mm-hmm. wine, you also bless the wine, which he, you know, did at the Passover Seder, of course. But when he breaks the bread, and they may have been at the Last Supper for all we know, because the accounts don't tell us who was there. We don't know if it was just the apostles. These guys might have been there too.
Mm-hmm.
And when he broke right. the matzah, they probably said, wow, it's him. And he disappears.
Yeah.
But he, you know, the fact that he goes through Moses and the prophets, and as we said, you know, it prefigures him. You know, he says to the religious leaders, you search the scrolls for eternal life and you do well, but the scrolls are about me, which mm-hmm. didn't make them happy. But he says that. Then he points out about he's the living bread come down from heaven, and your ancestors ate manna, but they died. But if you eat this bread, you won't die. And it's he presents himself as connected to bread so many different times during the ministry that mm-hmm. even before he breaks the bread, the idea of expounding the word like this and showing this was all about Messiah. It says their hearts were burning. You know, it's like if you're at an awesome Bible study, and I'm sure you've all been to awesome Bible studies, and you know and you're really into what's being said, and the teacher says, "Well, you know, we've been at this an hour and a quarter, so let's stop." And you know, some people go, "No, no, no, keep going," and some people right. go, "Good, let's stop." But you know, if you're really into it, you say, "I don't want to stop." So after 2.5 hours of hearing this, their hearts were burning
mm-hmm.
at yeah. just the power of the word. What a great explanation.
Yeah.
I mean, who could explain the Bible better than Jesus?
Not even Paul.
No, not even Paul.
Not even Paul. But the fact that their hearts were burning, I mean, he was feeding them. It's interesting. He was feeding them spiritually with the word as they walked. Then he fed them physically and with the bread.
Yes. Yes.
you know.
That's awesome.
And, you know, basically that was the first reenactment, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Of that Passover Seder.
Yes.
That happened a few days before.
Yes.
And Jesus told them, do this in remembrance of me.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them that command, do this in remembrance of me.
Mm-hmm.
And there he go. And then there he does it again for them.
Yes.
And they recognize him.
Yes. And it's a very powerful concept because he explains the word to them. And, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about the temptation in the wilderness where he confronts Satan with three verses from Deuteronomy. So, you know, the power of the word is there. The word is a sword. And when you show someone something in the word that is about him, that talks about him, it's a very powerful thing, as is why their hearts were burning. They didn't want this to end. And they said, stay with us. You know, maybe we can like take a break to eat and then do another Bible study because, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing on TV and I really don't want to do anything else. And they go into their house and they don't even think like, oh, let's, give me a second to kind of clean up around here and, you know, I'll get some food out and stuff. No, they sit right at the table. And he being the kind of the head of the Seder, he takes the lead position again in this other person's house and takes the bread, blesses it, and breaks it. And when they heard the word and then saw the bread being broken, this must have been a very powerful experience for them.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly it was.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because this was something brand new. Not that breaking bread was new in at a meal,
yeah.
But the fact that the man who is there with you that you just saw walking with you on the road for this whole time breaks the bread and then he vanishes and then you recognize who he was.
Mm.
That was different.
Yeah.
Very much so different.
Yes. And this was, like I said, they knew him from personal experience. You know, in the first chapter of John's first letter, not the gospel, but the letter, the first epistle of John, I think it's so cool that John says, you know, I'm going to paraphrase, but he said, we knew him and we heard him and we saw him and we touched him in a very real physical way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was the God man that says, you know, he existed before anything, but we experienced him in the flesh, literally. So Jesus talked and they could hear his voice. They could see him talking. You know, if they'd have reached out with their finger and poked him in the arm, they felt his arm. I mean, this was a human body. Now at this point, these guys had known that human body, but now they see this unbelievable revelation of who he really is through word and through the breaking of the bread.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important to, when you think about the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, whatever you call it in your tradition, it's so important to not minimize that because this is, you know, I've been in churches where, you know, the pastor kind of says, oh, we got communion today. So, you know, if you want to grab some on your way out, not like that, but you know what I mean, where it's kind of minimized.
Mm-hmm.
This is an example, I think, of you have word and then you have a sacramental or an ordinance or a liturgy, whatever you call it, because they're both important because he left this to us as an everlasting memorial.
Right.
And it shouldn't be minimized. I mean, we can talk about that more, but
no. No, it shouldn't be. And as St. Paul says, you know, some of you are receiving the body of Christ unworthily, you know, as he says in, I think it's 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians, but anyway, yeah. Is that music already?
It is.
We didn't even have the guys run back to Jerusalem yet. Oh, we'll have to do that next time.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as you read the Word of God, that your heart, too, would be burning by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus would reveal himself to you in the breaking of the bread and through his word. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.